As a parent myself, and I'm sure many of you who are parents in this room, you love when your kids come to you and ask for something. Now, here's a caveat. Not when they're coming and whining and complaining about you not giving them a certain kind of candy or a toy they don't need, okay? When they come to you legitimately with a need that they want your help with, say, like, Mom and Dad, could you help me with my homework? Or Mom and Dad, can you show me how to shoot a basketball? Or can we just talk? As parents, we love that, right? And then grandparents, I hear you got a good gig going on because you love your grandkids and you love when they come and ask you for almost anything, I understand, because you'll give it to them because you know you can give it to them and then say, go home now, right? You can give them sugar. You can give them candy and loud things like drums and loud toys and say, there you go, bless you as you go, right? Now, think about how much more God loves for you and I when we come to him and we talk to him, when we come and pray to God. Not only for ourselves, but also as we come and talk to God and pray about other people in our lives. God loves it, and he loves to hear from us, talking to him, praying with him. God loves to hear our prayers, and he's not sitting in heaven with his arms crossed going, what do you want now, right? God says, no, talk to me. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to share with them and talk about what's going on in our hearts and our minds. Of all the amazing things about prayer, perhaps the most amazing is how much God actually wants us to talk to him and to listen to him. In both the Old and the New Testament, God frequently, consistently urges his people to come to him in prayer. And Jesus, among his many teachings on prayer, he tells a parable of the persistent widow, encouraging us that we should always be praying, never giving up. And today and next week, we want to take some time and look at the Sermon on the Mount and God's teaching about, Jesus' teaching about prayer, and specifically the Lord's Prayer. It may be one of the most famous prayers in the world. The vast majority of Christians can say the Lord's Prayer, depending what version you learned of the Bible that you grew up with. Or at least you know most of it. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a well-known pastor, once said this about prayer. He said, on one hand, prayer is beyond any question the highest activity of the human soul. On the other hand, everything we do in the Christian life is easier than prayer. One of the greatest honors as a believer in Jesus that we have is the blessing of being able to come to God and talking to him in prayer, to be able to communicate directly to God. It's beyond really a description that we can give to it. To be able to speak to God who created and controls the entire universe. To know that God hears us, he answers us. It's hard to fully comprehend that. What a gift we've been given. But like anything else in life, we as humans, we can mess up something as profound and as beautiful as prayer. Since the beginning of humanity, we've been calling upon the Lord in prayer. Many have prayed and have seen God move in tremendous ways and answer those prayers. And we've also seen many who've prayed out of wrong motives. As believers, we should know that prayer is essential. We have probably at some point heard stories of others who have prayed, and they'll tell you, I get up at 3 a.m. and pray for 5 hours before the day gets started. And we hear that and we go, wow, that's awesome. But then we feel discouraged or defeated ourselves because we're like, I don't do that. We know prayer is important, but we find it difficult even though we know it's important to do. Now, if we're going to talk about prayer this morning, I think we should define prayers. What is prayer? How would we define it? Well, I'd like to sum it up this way for you. Prayer is intentional communication with God, okay? Intentional communication with God. And if you know anything about communication, it's a two-way street, right? Where you talk and you listen. Have you ever gone to any kind of marriage counseling? Communication, communication, communication. Talk and listen, right? It's the same with God. It's the same with a friendship we want to work on. Communication, right? So intentional communication with God. Prayer is how we have a conversation with God. God hears us and we listen to God. In chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus speaks of a few spiritual practices. He talks about prayer, talks about fasting and giving. And Jesus warns his disciples against having this showy devotion like some of the religious leaders of his day were demonstrating. Jesus was exposing some of the problems that were happening at the time. And he condemns this kind of showy praying of the hypocrites. Jesus tells us their praying will amount to nothing. Jesus wants sincerity in his followers, in you and I. Sincere humility and obedience to God's word is a key to authentic devotion to God. Not praying to show off to others, but to humbly love and serve God and following his teachings and commands. And so as we seek to know God better, we should desire to learn how to communicate better with God. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount not only gives us the model prayer, like the Lord's Prayer, but he also teaches us how not to pray. And that's where I want to focus today, on how not to pray. Now, there's a caveat here. You got to come back next week because we're going to talk about how to pray, okay? But go here with me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to be in Matthew 6. And we're just looking at three verses today. As we come to God's word, let's pray again. God, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you that we can come to them now and we can read them together. And we can be challenged by your word, God. We thank you for the gift of prayer. And God, we do pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning. Speak to us through your scriptures, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read for you these verses, beginning in chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." We're going to pause there. Again, come back next week. We're going to carry on. But to start with, let's remember the Jewish nation. They were God's people, okay? God had chosen them years before as his people, set apart for him. He had given them the law to live by. He had promised to send the Messiah through them, and they did. He did, Jesus. And he gave them the unique access to him through the temple. And they, of all people, they should have known and recognized the blessing and the how of talking and hearing from God. But over the years, some errors had worked their way into the Jewish worship and prayer. And they were problems, and they were the ones that Jesus is referring to here. Prayer for some had become nothing more than a ritual, something that they just kind of went through. Some Jews prayed, but their prayers were overly scripted and had set structures, and some were just quoting them from memory, and others were reading them. Now, again, hear me. This is not all that bad of a practice. We can use written prayers still today and prayers from memory. But commentators said that it had gotten so much that the Jewish people were praying and not even thinking about what they were saying. For example, every morning and evening, the faithful Jews, they would repeat the Shema, this prayer. And it was a central declaration of the Jewish faith. It's a prayer emphasizing God's oneness. It's recited daily. And it contains some really great core commandments to love and to serve God. It's drawn from the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Numbers. And it is a powerful affirmation of God. And it serves as a foundational prayer in the Jewish liturgy. But this prayer could be done with a right heart attitude. But for some, it was being done as just going through the motions, as a way of showing holiness. There's also a series of 18 prayers that addressed various aspects of Jewish life. Again, the faithful Jew would pray all 18 prayers three times every day. And for the Jewish people, these predetermined prayers were formulated for every aspect of life. Every part of life had a prayer. And it was the intention here that every happening in life should be brought into the presence of God. And that's a good practice, a great desire. But again, what was happening was that the people were more praying these things, reciting them from their head, but not actually lifting them up from their heart and with God's Spirit. And so some could pray these prayers with sincerity, but Jesus is pointing out how some were not, and they were just following ritual. You and I, we can fall into the same habit ourselves, can't we? We can pray at meals or at bedtime or when we first get up in the morning, And we can say some similar repetitive or ritualistic things that we don't really mean. We're just saying it because we're used to saying it. We're going through the motions. We're saying the words, but we don't really mean them. Even the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you grew up like I did, saying it at church or saying it at school. That was part of the thing we used to do at school. But how often were we just saying it? Or were we actually saying it every time with meaning, with heart, knowing what we're saying? Prayer and communication with God is not meant to be like that. It's meant to be from the heart. It's meant to be actually thought about. Prayer for the Jewish people at this time was also set to some specific times and occasions. Instead of praying more when they felt led to or when the need arose, they would pray at set times. Now again, let's remember that there's nothing wrong with praying at a predetermined time. It can actually be helpful at times to have a set time where we are going to focus on prayer or be in prayer with God. It helps us in our habit of prayer. But then we can also pray outside of that as well. For me, I get a text every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and it's from our church partners in Quebec. And it's to remind those who are on it to sign up for the text to pray for the church in Quebec every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Now, that's a predetermined time, but it helps me in the habit of remembering to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ as they struggle in Quebec. Now, prayer, we are called on by Scripture to be in an attitude of prayer at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Again, we're supposed to be continually praying and talking with God. Now, for me, again, I had a mentor years back who helped me look at this in a different light. He said, Matt, just start your day by opening a conversation every morning with God. And then talk with God as you go through your day with different things that happen through your day. At the end of the day, end your conversation. Start it again tomorrow. And I've tried to apply that in my life, and I found it very helpful to remind me to be in and talking with God in different aspects of my life each day. And that's praying without ceasing. Jesus also speaks here of some having the desire to be seen and heard while they're praying. Prayer for some, again, had ceased to be that special connection with our holy God. Instead, it became and corrupted to be used to impress others. Some were praying in very public places, showing they did not love prayer for what it was. They loved when it gave them the opportunity to make themselves noticed by others. Now, Scripture teaches us to pray together openly and with others. Let's be clear here again. But the danger is when we love the attention, when it feeds our pride because of the attention we're getting by what we're praying and how we're praying. So we need to be aware of wrong motives. And God tells us that prayer is not about being seen or heard by others. Instead, we're to look at prayer as a time of personal and special connection with our holy God. Now, many people over the years have read these verses and concluded that any kind of public prayer is off limits. That's not true. Jesus is not forbidding public prayer. What Jesus is saying is to be aware of who is our audience as we pray. If you're praying in public to be seen and heard by others, then you have totally missed the purpose and point of praying. Prayer is about us entering into the presence of God and having that special connection with him. We also need to be aware of our wrong methods. These people Jesus calls hypocrites. They're guilty of standing in these public places, such as synagogues, busy street corners, praying loud, long prayers, again, trying to draw attention to themselves. Their desire was to impress others with their devotion, their religiousness. Jesus condemns this kind of praying because it draws attention to the prayer, not to God. It glorifies the flesh, not God. And again, there's nothing wrong with praying in public. There's nothing wrong with a person standing in public to pray. God is not concerned about our posture of our body. He's concerned with the attitude of our heart. Where is our heart at as we talk to God and as we listen to God? And if a person's public praying is different from their private praying, and it's designed to appeal to others instead of pointing people to God, then it's hypocrisy. It is a blessing to hear some people praying. And I'm sure you've been around some others, people praying, and it's so good to be around them when you realize they're talking to God. They're not talking to you. They're talking to God. And what a blessing those kind of experiences are as well. Now, having told his disciples about how the hypocrites were praying, Jesus proceeds and tells them a few points to apply in their prayer time, and we can apply today. Why the warning and guidelines on prayer? Well, again, eventually any activity like prayer, there's the danger of our sinful humanity getting involved, as I've mentioned. And Jesus speaks to our private prayer time as well here, teaching that real prayer is a priority. Now, Jesus does not say, if you pray. No, what does he say? He says, when you pray. When you pray. It's expected that God's people will pray, that we will talk and listen to God. Christ expects believers to practice the regular discipline of prayer. We're commanded to pray. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus tells us that we ought always to pray. Since we're told to pray, we must make prayer then a priority in our daily lives. If prayer is not made a priority, then we will never pray. It's sad but true, but some people only pray when they're in public or when they go to church. That is not the way it should be. Communion, connection with God through prayer should be our highest priority every day and all day. I heard this once said. It said, you will never grow in the Lord beyond the depth of your prayer life. Real prayer is personal. It's in contrast to the hypocrites who like to pray in public places to be seen. Jesus tells his people to go into a private place to pray. There are things that need to be said in prayer by us that should not be said in earshot of other people. When we pray in private, we can have the freedom to honestly share our thoughts, our struggles, our concerns with God. Share a true heart with God. For example, we can also pray when we're in personal time with God about private matters that maybe would embarrass us. We can pray on names of people that we're burdened to pray for in our times of prayer. We can pray and confess our sins to God, asking God to forgive us. We can be honest with God easier when we're on our own, when we can humble ourselves before God. We can be who we really are. Because in private prayer time with God, the temptation to impress others is not there. It's our own time with God, just you and God, spending time together. And again, there's nothing wrong with praying as a group, and we're going to see more next week in verse 9. What does Jesus tell us to say? Our Father. That means it's part of corporate prayer. Praying together with other believers is a wonderful privilege and can be very encouraging, but there's also something precious about spending time alone with God as well. Hebrews 4:16 says that we can with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we pray, we're allowed access to the throne room of grace with God. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to the very throne of our Father in heaven. We have the privilege to step out of this world for a time and enter his presence and to commune with him alone. That is why prayer is so precious. It's so powerful. It literally takes you into the presence of God. In James 4, verse 8, we're told that to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What a blessing that we can experience every day. I believe Jesus is telling us that when prayer ceases to be about us and being seen by others and it becomes all about God, then we can expect God to move in response to our prayers. And Jesus calls us to hear it. He says to go in your room, close the door, to seek the Lord in private. Jesus himself practiced some private, some personal times of prayer. He went out on the mountain by himself to pray. We can see in Acts chapter 10, Peter goes up on the rooftop to pray by himself, to spend time alone with God. Where do you go to spend time alone with God in your life? It doesn't have to be a room. It could be during a weekly routine where you are on your own and you can focus a little bit on God and talking with God and listening to God. Maybe it's on a morning walk or on your drive to work. I know for me, a good drive by myself is a great time to talk with God and share with God. Maybe for you, it's like me sometimes when I'm out shoveling snow alone. I'm not always praying that I'm thankful for the snow, but I spend time praying and talking with God too, or cutting grass. I've heard some people create a prayer closet at home where it's just set aside only for a time of prayer alone with God. There's people who have come here to the church during the week and asked to come in the sanctuary just by themselves to spend time alone with God. Where do you spend time with God? When we pray to God out of a sincere desire to have a connection with him, then God is going to honor our faith and our humility. And he's going to answer in such a way that demonstrates the fact that he is with us, he's listening. And it may be that God answers our prayers or helps us to understand better the outcome of our prayers by spending time with him. It can also be that God will help us to understand his ways or his reasons for why things are in life. God in our time of prayer can help us understand scripture better. And through prayer, God can mold our will to be in line with his will. That's a real neat thing about prayer. We can see God move in mighty power, and he gets the glory. Now, having told us what not to do and some principles in applying our prayer times, there's a couple more things here that Jesus offers in related to our prayer that we should know. First, we should refrain from repetition. Again, another distortion of prayer that some were involved in at this time that Jesus is teaching. Now, Jesus doesn't want his people to engage in meaningless repetition. And if we're not careful, we will do this again. We will pray the same prayer over every meal. We may say the same phrases at morning and night. What I mean here is that we can pray the same thing and repeat a phrase to God in our prayers, but it needs to be done again with the right attitude, with our right heart behind it. Not just saying it for the purpose of saying it, because it's a habit. Not thinking that by repeating it over and over and over again, that God is actually going to listen. God is going to listen to us if we're coming to him with a right heart attitude and we're meaning the words that we are saying to God. We don't need to be at a certain length in our prayers either. We need to remember, personally, it is not the length of our prayers that matters, nor the eloquence of our words that matters. It's not even the content of our prayers that often is the issue. What matters the most is our heart attitude, the heart attitude of the one who is doing the praying and the motive behind the praying. Now, let me be clear. It is not wrong to repeat the same phrase or the same request to the Lord to pray lengthy prayers. Nothing wrong with that. It is wrong, though, to enter into a mindless state where we're just going through the motions. We're not meaning what we're saying. We're not putting thought and heart behind what we're saying to God. To mindlessly drone on in a repetition of prayer is what Jesus is clearly telling us not to do. Now, Jesus reminds us in these verses that God, our Father, and he is our Father, and as such, he knows what we need before we ask. And he's going to meet our needs. Now, some ask here at that point then, well, if God already knows what I need, then why do I need to spend time talking to God or prayer in praying with God? You see, we need to know in coming to God in prayer, it shows our desire to look to God first for everything. Us coming to God in prayer expresses our love to God, as well as it shows our dependence on him in our faith and our faith in him. It also shows us our desire for him to work in us, to change us, to mold us, to be more and more like Jesus. Prayer is a practice that helps us in building our relationship with God. It helps us to know God more. God's foreknowledge is no reason to keep silent from praying. That's not Jesus's logic here, but it's the exact opposite. You see, our Father in heaven, already knowing what our need is, should motivate us to pray, to use simple, direct language, because he not only knows our needs, but he is our Father who loves his children and wants to meet the needs of his children. Just like we as parents want to meet the needs of our kids, God loves us and wants to meet our needs. And since he is God and since he is our Father, we can go to him in confidence and faith, believing that he has the power to answer us when we call upon him. That we can approach him as us. We're not having to put on a show or an act. And so when we as Christians pray, we pray as those who have been freed from praying like the world. We pray as those who have heard God through his word. We pray as those who have embraced his gift of salvation and grace in the person of Jesus. We pray as those who have no need to earn his favor in our repetition, our posturing, or putting on some act. We're blessed to be able to simply talk with our Heavenly Father. Listen to our Heavenly Father as children. We can approach God with humble confidence, knowing that our Heavenly Father already knows our needs and he knows them better than we do. And he wants to meet our needs. Now remember, as we close today, we focused a little more on how not to pray. So come back next week as we focus on how to pray and we get into the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. Let's pray now, if you would, with me. God, we thank you for this passage this morning and these your scriptures that we can read and learn of you, God. We thank you for your word and how it impacts our lives. And God, we thank you for the blessing and the joy of prayer and being able to talk to you, God, and be honest with you, God, but also to listen to you, God, to hear from you, God, and knowing that you will meet our needs, that you love us, you care for us, and you want to bless us. So thank you, God, for the blessing of prayer. Thank you for the joy of prayer, and help us in our times of prayer, God, to come always to you with the right heart attitude and with the right motive. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.